Lord, renew our lives through your word this morning, that we may live in holiness and in righteousness, in the mighty name of Jesus. Lord, serving you is not without a cost. Serving you is not without a price. Every price that we need to pay in order to be who you want us to be in you, my Father, my God, you will give us the readiness of heart to pay such prices from today in Jesus' name, so that we can live a life that will be pleasing to you. So shall it be, in the mighty name of Jesus. Thank you as you feed us with your word. This word will transform our lives and will change us from glory to glory. In Jesus' mighty name we pray. Praise the Lord. I say praise the Lord. What is today? Today is Christmas. The only reason there's Christmas is because there's Jesus. It's because Jesus decided to come. He will come into your life afresh today in Jesus' name. And that joy that should characterize Christmas will characterize every day of your life in Jesus' name. We've been looking at holiness. We've been looking at holiness. I want somebody to quickly open to the book of 1 Peter chapter 1. If somebody can quickly read, to read 3 to 16. The book of 1 Peter 1. 1 Peter 1, verse 3 to 16. Let's be quick. We are already 5 minutes into the 25 minutes. Yes, please.
Or beautiful clothes. You should be known for the beauty that comes from within, the offended beauty of a gentle and quiet spirit, which is so precious to God. That is the way the holy women of old made themselves beautiful. They trusted God and accepted the authority of their husbands. For instance,
sorry, did we say 1 Peter?
Yes.
Yes. 1, chapter 1, verse 3 to 16, isn't it?
Chapter 1.
Yes.
Okay. All honor to God and the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. For it is by his boundless mercy that God has given us the privilege of being born again. Now we live with a wonderful expectation, because Jesus Christ rose again from the dead. For God has reserved a priceless inheritance for his children. It is kept in heaven for you, pure and undefiled, beyond the reach of change and decay. And God, in his mighty power, will protect you until you receive this salvation, because you are trusting him. It will be revealed on the last day for us to see. So be truly glad. There is therefore joy ahead, even though it is necessary for you to endure many trials for a while. These trials are only to test your faith, to show that it is strong and pure. It is being tested as fire tests and purify gold, and your faith is far more precious to God than mere gold. So if your faith remains strong, being tried by fiery trials, it will bring you much praise and glory and honor on the day when Jesus Christ is revealed to the world. You love him even though you have not seen him. Though you do not see him, you trust him. And even now you are happy with a glorious, inexpressible joy. Your reward for trusting him will be the salvation of your soul. The salvation was something the prophet wanted to know about. They prophesied about the gracious salvation prepared for you. And even though they had many questions as to what it all could mean, they wonder what the Spirit of Christ within them was talking about when he told them in advance about Christ's suffering, and his great glory afterward. They wonder when and to whom all this will happen. They were told that this thing will not happen during their lifetime. But many years later, during yours, and now this good news has been announced by those who pray to you in the power of the Holy Spirit sent from heaven. It is also wonderful that even the angels are eagerly watching these things happen. So things clearly are necessary control. Look forward to the special blessing that will come to you at the return of Jesus Christ. Obey God because you are his children. Don't slip back into your old ways of doing evil. You didn't know any better then, but now you must be holy in everything you do, just as God, who chose you to be his children, is holy. For he himself has said, you must be holy because I am holy.
Praise the Lord. And our memory verse is taken from 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 15. It said, but as he which has called you is holy, so be ye holy in all manner of conversation, in all form of behavior. That's what it means. In all that you do, be holy. So it's not just inside the church. It's everywhere. Be holy. Praise the Lord. Because he who has called us is holy, we shall be holy in Jesus' name. Last week we looked at what holiness means, and we looked at other words or expressions for holiness. We say it's the same thing as righteousness, godliness, obedience to God, sanctification, separation from the world, consecration, agreement with God, pleasing God, perfection. And I'm sure there are other words that you can use that depicts holiness. We even said it's agreement with God, because the Bible makes us to understand and says, shall two walk together except they be agreed? So if you are not in agreement with God, you cannot walk with him. Praise the Lord. That is holiness. And if you are not holy, you cannot walk with him. Because as he who has called you is holy, he says, so be ye holy in all manner of conversation. You will live holy in Jesus' name. And we say God has his own views and attitudes towards holiness. Everywhere he finds holiness, because it's purity, God delights in it. He delights in those who will do righteousness. You know, one of my popular and much loved verses is 1 John chapter 3, verse 7. He said, children, be not deceived. He that does righteousness is what? Is righteous. Children, be not deceived. He that does righteousness is righteous. In other words, only those who do righteousness, only those who do righteousness are holy. If you hear it, if you know it, and you don't do it, you are not holy. Only that those that do righteousness, they are righteous. Be not deceived. Everything that looks like it and is not it, is not it. That's it. Praise the Lord. So God has his views about holiness, because it's a prerequisite for you to be able to do anything with him. For you to be able to do anything with him. You know what? Many a times we want to operate in the realm of the Spirit and in the power of God, and we are not ready to pay a price. To remain holy requires us paying a price. It will require us doing what? Paying a price. Jesus himself had to do what? Had to pay a price. It cost Jesus something. And that's why we are celebrating today. Praise the Lord. If you don't know what it cost Jesus, go back to the book of Philippians chapter 2. Go and read Philippians chapter 2. I think from verse 3 or 7, thereabout. You know? Jesus had to live his glory. And the reason why a lot of us cannot live that life of holiness and be mighty instruments in the hand of God is because we are not ready to lay down those things we cherish. God will help us in Jesus' name. Another verse that I love so much in the Bible, it's Acts chapter 10 verse 35. Can somebody read? Acts 10, 35. Acts chapter 10 verse 35. But in every nation,
whoever
fears the Lord
and walks righteousness
is acceptable. Only those who fear him and walk righteousness. If you don't walk righteousness, it doesn't matter. You may speak good phonetics. You may know the Bible inside out. If you don't fear God in what you do and walk righteousness, you will not be acceptable unto him. That is what we are talking about. That is holiness. That power that comes with the coming of Jesus will turn your life around from today in Jesus' name. Because that is what pleases God. That is what makes you acceptable. That's God's attitude towards holiness. It's those people that are acceptable unto him. He will find you acceptable in Jesus' name. And we told us last week that God has not changed his position yet. Some of us think that with the change in culture and with modernity, that things have changed. Let me tell you, things have not changed. The formula that works in the kingdom remains the same. You may become civilized, you may know, you may read all the books in this world, and you think that will change God. That will not change God. It is us who need to what? To change. The word you hear today will change you in Jesus' name. So his position has not changed. And if he's going to maintain good and intimate relationship with you, you better live in holiness. Remember Isaiah 59. What is it that separates us from the Lord? Our iniquities. That bridge shall be broken in your life today in Jesus' name. Many of us think it's only when we slap somebody. Every impurity, envy, jealousy, you know, all those things, they're there. All those impurities, all the manipulations, all the schemes, they are impurities to God. They will not go unnoticed and unpunished except we repent. He hasn't changed his standard. The Lord will see you through in Jesus' name. What is the roadmap to holiness? Let's do some work. Some fresh work. Because we've established that God is holy and that no one can see God except by pure holiness. Humankind has two choices. Somehow work at being as holy as we can and somehow earn our way into God's presence of God, which is impossible. In fact, some of us think we can scheme God the way we scheme people. You know? As if God does not know. One day, I keep telling this story. I got invited to somewhere. And I said it was not a good place for me to go, that I wasn't going to go. And somebody said, why don't you just tell them? He said, look, you just tell them you are on duty, you are something. You look for work and go and do. And I told the person, you think God doesn't know my heart? We scheme, the way we scheme with men, we think we can scheme with God as well. You can't. So, you may keep scheming, that will not translate to holiness. Except you do it straight, the way it should be done. Praise the Lord. So, the other way is to trust in what Jesus has done for us and receive his blood that cleanses away our sins so we can know God. The atonement, let's quickly look at Hebrews chapter 2 verse 17. Hebrews 2:17. Mm-hmm. Praise the Lord. And I'm sure I've preached this verse before. He said, in everything, he has to be made like what? Like his brethren. I keep telling people, I said, look, if you don't realize it, think about it again. I said, if the blood of Jesus was enough, just shedding his blood, if it was all that God required of him, right? I said, Jesus could have been killed the day he was born. King Herod would have killed him and shed his blood, right? And that would have done the work of our salvation. Am I right? Why did they have to hide him, take him to Egypt all the way? That verse answered it. That was why they had to hide him, so that he becomes what? Like his brethren. So that he did what he did in what? In obedience. In yielding. In submission to the Lord. Let me tell you something. The reason why many of us will never be what God wants us to be is because we cannot submit. Can somebody hear that? The reason we will never be what God wants us to be is because we cannot submit and yield. He said, in all things, so that he will be like his brethren. Otherwise, you will be saying, Jesus, because he's God, but God brought him low and made him like man, and he yielded himself in obedience to God. And that is why it is not impossible for you to live a life of holiness. Because he has lived that way before. And he has done what? Shown us an example. Praise the Lord. So if it's just blood, he would have given his blood. But he humbled himself. He came. He gave up. You remember the rich young ruler who came to Jesus? I keep telling people, I say, it's not everybody who came to Jesus met his requirement. The rich young ruler did not meet his requirement. And another thing that kept recurring to me, go and read Mark, the book of Mark. Can somebody open the book of Mark, chapter 3, verse 13? We're still talking about holiness. I don't know. Part of the prayer we pray this morning is that we should say things we never intended to say. Praise the Lord. And I don't know. You know, God is just taking me there. Can somebody read Mark 3:13? And he went up to the mountain and called to him
those himself, those he wanted.
He called to him, to himself, those he wanted, yes?
And they came to him.
And they came to him. Is that all?
Then he appointed 12 that they might be with him, and that he might send them out to preach.
Praise the Lord. That's all I want to say. He called how many? All. He called all. All that will be with him. He called them. And out of them, he chose what? 12. Many are called, but few are chosen. The Lord will choose you in Jesus' name. So it's not everyone that the Lord calls. I mean, it's not. The Lord calls everyone. But it's not everyone he chooses. I want somebody to read King James Version again. I want somebody to read King James Version. Mark chapter 3, verse 13.
And he went up on the mountain.
Mm-hmm.
I called those himself wanted. And they came to him.
Mm-hmm.
Then he appointed 12.
Good.
That they might be with him.
Okay.
And he might send them out to preach.
Praise the Lord. Is that King James Version or New King James? Okay, New King James.
King James now.
Okay.
King James. And he went unto a mountain. And he called unto him whom he would.
Those he would. Exactly. That's
and,
it.
And they came unto him.
That's all. That's all.
And he ordained 12.
Those he wanted. It's those he wanted. It's not the people. It's not by volunteering. It's not those who volunteered. It's those. He would. It's not. In fact, somebody said, before they became born again, they had not given their lives. So, remember, he called them. That is why before, while you are yet in your mother's womb, God had known you and he called you. He will choose those whom he will choose. It's not whether you volunteer. It's not how hardworking you are. It has nothing to do. Do you get what I'm saying? When God will choose to call you. All that needs to happen is to make yourself available to him. Praise the Lord. Peter simply made himself available. Am I right? And he didn't just call him. He chose him. He will choose you also in Jesus' name. But wait until he has chosen you. Praise the Lord. 1 John 2:2. 1 John chapter 2 verse 2. Holiness. Yep. 1 John 2:2. Let's go.
And not for our sin only, but also for the sin of the whole world.
He is the propitiation. He is the answer. He is the perfect sacrifice. He is the one that is good enough. Not because we are good enough. That's why, you know, when he chooses to call, he calls. When he chooses to choose, he chooses. Praise the Lord. Yes, 1 John 4:10. 1 John 4:10.
Not as we love God, but he loved us and sent his son to be the propitiation for our sins.
He loved us, sent his son to be the answer to our struggles with sin. That's my own interpretation. To be the answer to our struggles with sin. Everyone that is struggling with sin, the Lord will deliver you from today in Jesus' name. Every area of your struggle we meet with the cleansing power of the blood of Jesus today in Jesus' name, because only those who are holy are acceptable unto him. You will be acceptable unto him in Jesus' name. So we have to be born again. We have to be born again. And how do you know when you are born again? You know you are born again because only those who have experienced the transformation remember. He said, children, be not deceived. Only those who do righteousness are righteous. When you start to do righteousness, you know you are born again. Because the grace and the Spirit of God enables you to live it. So now, as we live a breath on this earth, we are clearly commanded to be striving to live as holy as we can, not to nature, but rather to enhance our relationship with God and be a good witness to the sinful world around us. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verse 3 to 7. Somebody read. 1 Thessalonians 4, 3 to 7.
Charge some that teach no other doctrine, nor give it to fables and endless genealogies, which call dispute rather than godly edification, which is in faith.
Praise the Lord. 1 John chapter 1, 8 to 9. 1 John 1, 8 to 9. First John 1, 8 to 9.
If we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, it's faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness.
Praise the Lord. Who do you think John was writing to? Who are the people? He was writing to the believers. He was writing to people who have already known Christ. And he's telling them, if right now your situation is such that you know you are not living godly. So first of all, if you deny and you think what you are doing is right and you insist is right, the Spirit of God is not in you and you try to make God a liar. But it says, if we confess our sins and you forsake them, what will God do? He will forgive you and cleanse you of all unrighteousness. So as many people, today is a wonderful day. There's no other day as perfectly good as today. If you just know, look, it's not about qualification. It's not about who you are. It's not about anything. It's about your life, your salvation, and your walk with God. Today is a perfect opportunity to renew that relationship with Him and live in holiness. So if you are in the house, by the end of this Sunday school, you just know you are not living right. We used to have a sister here. This sister, the Lord will use her heavily. She will speak in tongues. She will live, you know. She started keeping a particular company with certain people. And it got to a point that she actually said that she knew that the Spirit of God had departed from her. She came here and I ministered to her. In fact, she was in the choir that day. She came with the choir, and after the choir practice, she came to me. I ministered Christ to her, and the Lord restored her. If you are the same and you are in the house today, don't let this wonderful day pass you by without you reconciling yourself back to God. Praise the Lord. It's very important. Praise God. And then, of course, we have to study the Word of God. I think we should stop here because, like I said, we've got many things on our plates today. And I will start from there next week. Praise the Lord. Can we just rise up now? Let's rise up. Please, all eyes closed, head bowed down. It's not me who will convince you or convict you. It's the Spirit of God that will minister to you this morning. Can we all please bow our heads and close our eyes? Let's bow our heads and close our eyes. You are in the house. You know what the Word of God says, but you know you are not living godly and in holiness right now. You've been so carried away by the circumstance of life, so much so that you know you are falling away. Please, all heads bowed and eyes closed, can you just lift up your hand to the Almighty God? I want to pray with you this morning. Today is Christmas. Remember what God has done. Remember the coming of the Lord. Remember the reason why Jesus came. It's not just the funfair. It's so that His glory might be revealed in your life. And part of the glory of God is the life of an overcomer lived in holiness. So please close your eyes. If you are in the house, you no longer live that way. Can you just lift up your hand to the Almighty God? It's not about anyone. Let's be quick about it before we commence, so that the joy of Christmas, the joy of His coming, the joy of His presence can be your portion in Jesus' name. Thank you, Daddy. Lord, we give you praise and we give you glory this morning. We thank you for what your coming signifies. Today, being the day that you left your glory, O God, to manifest yourself for the redemption of man. Father, we are grateful. Lord, we are thankful. We pray, O God, that the coming of your Son will not be a waste upon our lives in Jesus' name. We will live a life that is worthy of you, a life of holiness in Jesus' name. Thank you, Daddy. In Jesus' mighty name we pray. Amen. Praise the Lord.
Praise the Lord.